This is Theoretical Thrills, the podcast where three hosts pitch original theoretical rides and attractions based on things they don't own. A special guest judge awards bronze, silver, or gold based on three separate categories: most creative, most practical, and guest's favorite. With bragging rights on the line, the hosts will try to pick each other's ideas apart through gentle ribbing. So sit back, relax, and stand clear of the moving doors as we present Theoretical Thrills.
Theoretical Thrills, the theory of the thrill.
Oh boy!
In 3, 2, fun!
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Theoretical Thrills Season 2. I'm Oliver.
I'm Brad.
And I'm Spencer.
And welcome to the start of a brand new season. Last season ended with Spencer unfortunately losing, but fortunately for us, he had to suffer the punishment, which was to drive to Disneyland all by himself, touch the front gate, and drive home. No staying, no having fun. Spencer, how'd that go?
You say it's a punishment. I had a lot of fun in the car on the way. I just jammed out to a bunch of Disney tunes. The only tricky part was when you get there, I was like, hey, to this cast member, I know this is a really weird question, but can I touch the gates of Disneyland? And she's like, well, Disneyland's roped off, but you can touch California Adventure if you want. And I was like, that doesn't help me, one, but two, I don't understand how you have the entirety of Disneyland roped off, but not California Adventure. So it was like, and like literally I tried to go to Disneyland and there were like a bodyguard every 6 feet and they would just come towards me as I was walking towards the rope before the gate. So
in my mind, but you're not doing it fluidly. You're just taking one step closer each time as they are as well to a violin going slowly.
You know, I think the worst part was just the awkwardness of me trying to figure out how to take a picture of myself, like a video of myself. I think that was the most awkward part, was me just being like, everyone's watching me take a video of myself. Cool. Because I wasn't going to ask anybody to do it because of, you know, COVID and stuff. I didn't want people to touch my phone or ask them to touch my phone.
Let me get this straight. Your punishment to drive to Disneyland and touch the gate, you did not do.
Well, you can see the video. I literally explain how all this worked. So
you did not touch the Disneyland gate.
Well, there was no way to do it. And we've already established this. So I think we have,
but we just wanted to clarify because we're in season two. And in order to start that episode, it's time to start the music. It's time to light the lights. It's time to meet our guest star on our Muppet show tonight. Tonight's theme is the Muppets, and meet Serenity. Serenity, how are you?
Hello, I'm good. I'm doing all right. Hanging in there.
Excellent. So, Serenity, you're joining us as the first judge of season two, and you should know what our punishment's going to be at the end of the season. You're going to be giving us awards based on three categories. These three categories are, Spencer?
The categories are practicality, which is something that feels like it could fit in a theme park, budget-wise, space-wise, type of ride-wise. Creativity, which is something that just seems like a very creative idea, for lack of a better word. And guest favorite, which is Serenity, whatever you think is just the most fun to you, whether it's something that tickled your funny bone or something that like you actually want to ride in a theme park. So those are the three categories.
All right, so you got those. Now, what's going to happen is at the end of the season, all of the episode scores are going to be tabulated together. And the person who loses this season's punishment is going to be that they're going to have to listen to the Electrical Light Parade song on loop for 24 hours. Enough to drive a person nuts. So keep in mind what you're giving points to, because that person, in the end, is definitely going to be affected. So we're going to be going off of the Muppets today. So Serenity, what's your background with the Muppets?
Love the Muppets. I think the Muppets have, like, who doesn't love them, first of all? They've shaped my childhood. They're the essence of, like, everything whimsical and, like, diversity, which is something that I love. And I think it really fed my childhood, like, need to escape and be in a different world. And big fan of like the old school Muppet Show, and then the my actual favorite was the 2015 one season long the Muppets. All the movies are fantastic. Just a big old fan. I love like that. Also, the element of human beings interacting with something that's not real. I'm so down for that kind of stuff.
So what would you say is, you don't have to say which one's your favorite, but what are your top three in order of the Muppet movies?
Oh, Okay.
I know, danger zone.
Muppets Take Manhattan.
Yep, absolutely.
Muppets from Space, just because I love Gonzo.
Yep.
I'll throw in one of the many Christmas movies that they have, which is Muppets Christmas Carol. Because it's like every year.
You got to watch it every year.
That's the one. 100%.
It's the best version of the Christmas Carol. It's,
yeah, they got us indeed. As far as like holiday nostalgia. They have like three movies that are all Christmas-based.
Brian Henson, you fiend. So, we're going to talk about theme parks as well, and that's what we're here to discuss. So what's your background with theme parks and that sort of thing?
I'm a West Coast theme park chick. I did all like Southern California stuff on a budget.
Nice.
So SeaWorld and Legoland, because I grew up in San Diego, and then of course like all the LA based type ones, Universal, Disney California Adventure, those are my jams.
Awesome. If you had to say you have a go-to ride, like a favorite, like the park doors open, you get to run straight to it, what would that ride be?
I would go back in time to a time where they had the Tower of Terror here on this coast. Because I love the Guardians of the Galaxy version, but I feel like I'm also a fan of the Twilight Zone. And I like thrill rides, but also something extremely theatrical.
Yeah.
Like, impress me in every way. And that ride did that for me. So RIP, at least over here.
Well, that's fantastic. So we have the Tower of Terror. We now know that you love Gonzo. You got your favorite Muppet movies. So we're going to be jumping into our pitch section here. Now, last season, we had a determined order. As always, it would go Spencer, then Brad, then me.
And from most knowledgeable to least knowledgeable in each time.
Right. It was a huge, huge jump on that regard. And to make things more fair and to switch things up a little bit more, we've added a wheel to decide who's pitching in what order. This way, if I say an idea that might be something Brad knows or wants to pitch, he's screwed this time around instead of me having to ditch pitches halfway through. Or
I think
for
I'm
instance,
gonna change my pitches.
You know what? You never know, because I lost four of them to you last season. But my revenge is that we have to open the season with puppets, which, as everyone knows, is Brad's favorite thing. So we're going to determine the order of which way we're going to go with the pitches. Brad, what do you got?
All right, let's go ahead and take a look at the Wheel of Destiny.
Wheel of Destiny!
Is that what we're calling it?
Yeah, sure. All right, everybody can see the wheel. I have Spencer, Oliver, Brad, and guest choice. That means, Randy, you get to choose who you want to go next. So let's go ahead and take a wheel. Who's going first?
Ooh, oh, no whammy, no whammy, no whammy, no whammy, no whammy.
It's spinning.
Very earthy tones.
Yes.
I couldn't change the tones. I'm going first, ladies and gentlemen.
Brad. Yay. All right.
So now I can go ahead. First. Now I can go ahead and hide that answer. Boom. Let's see who's going second, and thus also determining who's going third. Second will be... Ooh. Guest choice.
Oh, man.
Oh,
Serenity. So it
Serenity,
is up to
you
to you decide.
Get to choose.
You know, I feel like last but not least is actually a good spot to be in. So I feel like the underdog here is actually Spencer. So I'm gonna put Oliver next.
All right. The order for tonight's pitches is as follows. It's going to go Brad first, followed by me, then Spencer. All right, let's go ahead and jump in with Brad's pitch. Brad, take it away.
All right, here we go, everyone. It's time for my Muppets pitches. Now, obviously, we're going to go ahead and knock out the best first, so that's why I'm going first. Luck decided it. All right, so I've got three pitches for you today. Three glorious pitches, three attractions that I'm very excited about. The first one is Dr. Bunsen Honeydew and Beaker's Extraordinary Eatery. So this is my restaurant option. What is going to happen is this is going to be a very sort of, you're going into Honeydew and Beaker's lab has extended into a sort of restaurant break area. They've enlisted the Swedish chef to provide the menu options. So the Swedish chef will be cooking in the back, and you will have times where you will be able to see the Swedish chef actually cooking. So the way that we're going to make this into sort of Dr. Bunsen Honeydew and Beaker's Extraordinary Eatery is we're going to add that sort of sciencey feel to it. So we're going to have drinks, sort of lab style drinks served in beakers and test tubes, that sort of option. Also, the big thing, the big way this is going to work is it's not going to be a walk-up service type deal. It's going to be a sit at your table, and I'm going to take us something from those cool sushi restaurants, the conveyor belt. And so we're going to use the conveyor belt that's going to be going around to all the tables and stuff like that. And that's where food will be transported. And we're going to use another option, which is Amazon, their grocery store.
You'll order it and then a day later you'll get your food?
No. So their grocery store has sensors around their cart that when you take an item and place it in your cart, it automatically adds it to your bill. It adds it to your total. So you can essentially pay from your cart and that's it. So I want to take that same concept and idea. And as you take something from the conveyor belt and put it on your table, it registers on the table, adds it to your bill. And so there is our sort of futuristic, scientific-y sort of food experience. Throughout all this, it's going to be Beaker and Honeydew's lab, so there'll be noises of explosions going off or like little smoke puffs coming out of the vents at certain parts and stuff like that to really give you this sort of idea. Now, the style of menu that I'm expecting to have is going to be Swedish chef style. So what that means is we're going to have the donuts that he shot out. So we'll have the donuts sort of coming along. We'll have, of course, Swedish meatballs. I want this to be a very appetizer, sampler style, tapas style restaurant where you're grabbing a bunch of small plates and sharing it amongst the table as opposed to getting a big meal and having that just as your meal. So that's what I want. I want you to be able to experience a bunch of different things. So that is my first attraction.
I have a couple questions. Can I ask them?
Yes.
So one, okay, so where are we seeing the Swedish chef? Like, is that, because you said there's a conveyor belt, is this like behind, is it interactive for the people or is it just like a thing that they're seeing?
So it is interactive. A lot of those sushi restaurants and stuff that I've known, like there's, you can sort of see into the kitchen.
Yeah. Okay.
And so this will be the option. You'll be able to see into the kitchen and there's going to be a sort of elevated cook space that the Swedish chef will work at. So the Swedish chef will have times where he comes out and prepares some of the food in his Swedish chef style. For the guests. So the guests will be able to see the Swedish chef. It's like he's doing a sort of live cooking presentation. You ever go to a Costco or Sam's Club and you have like that awkward person that's standing behind the...
That was my job for a long time.
Behind the table with like the, come buy these pans. They're the best. With this knife cuts like crazy. It's sort of same concept, except Swedish chef. So he's going to be back behind. So you can't see that, you know, the person actually puppeteering him. And he'll be sort of up on his own little stage, giving these little little moments of him preparing some of the meal items.
So does this feel like a Swedish chef restaurant more? Like, because I feel like this might be two different concepts that could like both work. Like, I feel like the conveyor belt works for the Bunsen and Beaker like theme. But like, I'm like, couldn't the Swedish chef, like, we could go further and be like, this is Benihana.
The problem I ran into is Honeydew and Beaker, I don't foresee actually having cooking experience. So I wanted to take, they're making all different types of contraptions and whatnot, you know,
it's
science stuff.
It's always a catastrophe with them. Like,
it's always a catastrophe. So I wanted to add, I wanted to sort of take those two sort of, okay, they share a space next to each other. And so you have sort of the Swedish chef's kitchen and then next door, because they all live together in their Muppet studio world. So I wanted like next door just to be the lab. So you just happen to have Swedish chef doing his cooking presentation and there's conveyor belts that Honeydew and a Beaker have taken out built in through the wall into his cooking space. And that's what's going around, and they're selling this food, and they're sort of having these and throwing their drinks on top of it and stuff like that.
I like both. I like them both. I like,
but I agree. They both could be separate. I'm only allowed 3 pitches. My second attraction is a show. It is a show. I put a lot of thought into this.
It's okay, good.
Dr. Teeth and the Electric Mayhem Live.
Nice. Okay.
So this is going to be mainly Dr. Teeth and Electric Mayhem, the band, performing songs. We're going to have the MC is going to, of course, be Fozzie Bear. So the MC of this sort of show. So it's going to be a sort of concert music type show. It's one of those fun things where you get to listen to songs played, stuff like that. It's going to be hosted by Fozzie Bear, making his corny jokes as he's trying to introduce the songs. Up in the booth, we're going to have Statler and Waldorf, of course, poking fun at Fozzie Bear the entire time. I don't expect them to, they're not going to be talking or acting out during the music performances or stuff like that, but their bit's going to be the banter between Fozzie and themselves, just to provide a little bit more humor to help liven up, because obviously his jokes are terrible. And so throughout this, we're also going to have a couple special appearances. So we'll have a solo from Mrs. Piggy. She'll come on demanding a solo. So she's going to have a solo song. Ralph the dog will have a piano moment where he's going to play and sing a lovely piano song out there. And then, of course, Gonzo, Rizzo, and Camilla the chicken will be making an appearance to sing a song. Now, here's where it gets fun, is this is a show that has essentially 2 versions. It has the version that goes throughout the year with popular songs that they're able to sing, classic Muppet songs. But during the holidays, it switches to Christmas music. And Muppets have more than enough Christmas music albums of them singing it that we can actually do the Muppets singing Christmas songs, or their Christmas songs. And the nice thing about this is, because I've already incorporated Gonzo and Rizzo into the show, Gonzo and Rizzo will be able to do a retelling of the Christmas Carol. So they'll sort of do a retelling of the story with music provided by Miss Piggy and mainly Dr. Teeth and Electric Mayhem Live Mayhem Band, as well as some piano songs by Ralph the Dog. So this allows us to have sort of essentially 2 shows during the year. We get to really hit the, I mean, Muppets Christmas Carol is one of my top go-to Christmas movies.
So you're building out a full Muppet show.
But you'll notice I've left off a key person. I've left off Kermit. I've left off several others. Just because I don't want to overcrowd it. I want this to be focused mainly on the music.
Music, yeah.
This is mainly on the music.
What I will say, I was worried about it being too similar to Muppet Vision 3D because everybody's in there. But I do think that this is different enough if you do lean into the music part of it.
This is heavily leaning into the music, because I looked on Spotify. I went through, like, there's a lot of Muppets music. There's insane a ton.
Yeah.
It's more than enough to be its own show, to be able to do it without throwing in a bunch of other stuff. And I was like, of course, the person you had to have that sort of is guiding the show.
I do really, really like the element of everybody get in here, because that is what the Muppets are about. I'm like, man, is it too much? I would be excited about it, though. Like, I feel like I would be so excited to go to this show that it might even, like, blow the other attractions out of the water. So I'm like, is there a possibility to, like, split it up into different shows, maybe? Maybe it's a stage. I don't know, but
I think it's something that as you're building the set list, you just have to decide, like, is this something that could become
more. Because, yeah, it could essentially just be its own stage with several different performances. But for my pitch, it is just my music show.
I like it.
Finally, my third pitch. My third pitch is my thrill ride. It is good. See, here's the problem I had during the first season. The first season, I noticed as I went through the scores and looked at the scores and stuff.
That you lost.
That often I was losing points on practicality. Because while I had great ideas, really in-depth ideas, I never seemed to earn a lot of those golds in the practicality thing. So I wanted to really lean into practicality with my thrill ride. Now, at Universal Studios Orlando, there is a roller coaster called Rip Ride Rocket. Now, Rip Ride Rocket is a roller coaster that lights up. And the big thing with it is it has speakers in the seats and you choose a song to play. And it plays this song to go as you're riding the roller coaster. It's typically songs chosen that fit the sort of ride of the roller coaster, the twists and the turns and stuff like that. So this music goes along with it. The reason I chose to talk about this ride is because I was having a talk with my sister Sarah and about the Muppets, and I was like, you know, what do you really like when you think of Muppets? What's the first thing you think of? And she remembers this Rip Ride Rocket ride. See, the thing about the Rip Ride Rocket ride is it has hidden songs. If you hold the little logo for 3 to 5 seconds, a keypad will pop up and you'll have just a few moments to type in a 3-number code. If you type in code 902, you will get to listen to Rainbow Connection on this ride. So, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to take this roller coaster, all right? I'm going to redesign it in that, first off, I'm going to eliminate that hill. That stupid straight up hill that has problems. I'm eliminating it. We're turning it into a launch hill. This is going to be my Rainbow Connection roller coaster. So the main thing is this is going to be locked to the song Rainbow Connection. The nice thing about this is the car already uses all the different colored lights and stuff like that. We're going to really lean into this as a sort of a rainbow that you're riding. So we're going to change the paint scheme to make this a rainbow. The queue line, because this is a Kermit song, the queue line is going to be the loading station and all that. It's going to be redesigned to be the swamp. Now, when I say the swamp, I want this to have a similar feel to the E.T. forest for the E.T. ride in Orlando. But it's going to be outdoors. Because the forest ride in... the E.T. Forest is obviously indoors. It's an indoor dark ride.
You have it at Universal and out here.
Yeah. Okay. So there you go. It'd be that sort of cue, but it's that feeling, but it's going to be very focused. It's going to be an outdoors actual feeling. So you do have the sun coming in. It is going to change during the day. Yes.
So you just said that you're about to design a swamp outside, correct?
A fake swamp.
A fake swamp. So, but there'll be stagnant water, right?
What's a swamp? It's got water.
It's got a water, but if it's a theme park, it's a theme park. I mean, it's a fake swamp. You don't have to have it stagnant.
All right. I'm just worried about mosquitoes. Don't worry about it.
Okay. So you're just going to have like water paper, I guess then.
No.
Have
you guys never been to Florida?
No. I'm from Florida.
We need to break this down for a second here. What did you just mean by water paper, Spencer?
You know, like when you are like doing a stage show and you're supposed to be somewhere in the ocean and they have like that stuff and then they have it, you know, move.
Great. That's Brad, what I mean. Go ahead and continue.
By water paper.
So anyways, because this is a theme park and stuff, the water can be regulated through filtration systems and that. So it is actually,
you can keep it
flowing.
Yeah.
All right, we're just going to have a bucket of moldy of algae water.
Of a ride.
The final thing too, because Rip Ride Rocket has these secret songs, I've sort of flipped it on its head in that you still are also going to be able to access secret songs through a 3-button press. However, whereas in the original ride, they are popular songs such that work it, make the Kanye song, the you know.
Yeah. Wait, yeah, you know, work wait, it and the Kanye wait, song.
Wait, Brad, explain what Kanye song you're talking about right now.
Is it Gold Digger?
No. No. You know, I don't think it's, I think it's Kanye doing a remix of it.
Please.
Work no, it makes it green. It's the,
you're
it's the
harder, better, faster.
Yeah. Yeah. That's that one.
You're thinking
I just
stronger?
Wanted to hear Brad stumble through
that one.
I was thinking Work It by Missy Elliott and the Kanye song.
Anyway,
nothing fits the Muppets more like Jesus Walks.
Anyway, my hidden songs are going to be popular songs, like music of rock and pop and stuff like that, and rap. Sung sort of kids bop style by the Muppets. Yes, that's right. It's going to be done by the Muppets singing these songs. So you have the option of choosing the Muppets singing Stronger.
Okay, so a lot of what they already do, but like...
No, but I mean, hey, that part...
I'm so angry and impressed at the same time.
Yeah, that's how I feel, I think.
So I'm taking essentially the fact that Rainbow Connection was a secret song on Rip Ride Rocket and making it the only song you have, unless you choose a secret code, which has all those popular songs that were initially you could choose from when you got on the ride, but all sung by the Muppets. Different Muppets.
I feel like I just want to listen to Rainbow Connection at that point.
I feel like I just want to listen to Eddie's song, except for the 14 versions of Rainbow Connection.
Could you imagine? Could you imagine Sweet Child of Mine sung by...
Okay.
Yes. It'd be one thing if it was Camilla singing it. If all the different songs were by Camilla.
She sings I Will Survive already.
That's true. Go ahead.
I have some questions.
Yeah.
Would this not work better as like an Electric Mayhem ride? Because like I feel like the theme of Rainbow Connection would fit for like a log ride. Like this is a roller coaster.
So
right?
here's the thing.
Just wait for my pitches.
Okay.
Here's why I've chosen this. One, for practicality reasons, I'm taking a ride that already exists. And I'm fixing it. And we're sort of just buying it and moving it. This is something that happens in theme parks all the time. Mm-hmm. They buy rides, they get shipped to another park.
But so, then practicality-wise, you have to record all of those songs too, though. Like
that's not that hard.
And build a swamp.
Okay.
Okay. Plant some trees and make some water. Like
circulating water. That's
my concern.
Okay. So that's why I chose it. Two, and also to make sure to be even more practical, I've taken a ride that's a song that's already on the ride and just switched it so that it's the song that's locked in as the one that you listen to mainly. So this will be, so at the loading station, well, of course, is where Kermit's going to be featured, sitting on a log, sort of talking to people, communicating with people as they're boarding on their ride on this Rainbow Connection. So those are my three pitches.
Nice. Well done.
Serenity, do you have any other questions for Brad before we move on?
No, I think those were all mighty creative, mighty, mighty creative ideas. I like
and
them
mighty
all.
Practical.
He's like, dare I say, your favorite as well.
He's campaigning. He's campaigning hard this season.
I'm sure. I gotta make sure you remember me.
he sends up gift baskets all the time.
I write things down. Don't worry.
All right, good.
You're all on an equal playing field.
So we're going to move on to my pitches. Now, Serenity, I really appreciate you being here. I need you to know that before I jump into these.
Oh, don't
my
worry.
Ideas.
This will not go anywhere.
I don't want practical. I don't need it. Keep your practical, because I'm going whimsical in the spirit of the Muppets. The Muppets are near and dear to my heart. So we're going to explore a few different ideas, specifically only three pitches that fit the Muppets. So first, Brad, I loved your idea of Rainbow Connection being a thing that is normally relaxing and wholesome being turned into a roller coaster. But I'm going to go ahead and take the idea a little bit of a different direction with Dr. Teeth and the Electric Mayhem Coaster. Now, the Dr. Teeth and the Electric Mayhem Coaster was starting out as a good, wholesome idea. The idea would be that they are going to load you onto what looks like the Dr. Teeth and the Electric Mayhem bus, but that'll be the ride car. And Dr. Teeth and the Electric Mayhem are prepared to do this thing that's been built for them by Beaker and Honeydew. Except Animal has gotten... No, hold on. Except Animal has gotten behind the controls of the ride.
Of course.
So Animal's deciding how quick you're going. Now, when this ride starts, you're going to be launched into a standard roller coaster. However, at certain points, you'll end up in an indoor slow part of the ride because fighting for control over this ride is Sam the Eagle. So at several points during the ride, that's an outdoor ride, you will go into an indoor section where you'll sit through what is more or less Sam the Eagle telling you about the Hall of Presidents. It's him just teaching you wholesome lessons, and every time he tries to, the ride begins again as Animal takes over control. So this roller coaster will feature many songs by the different groups, played by the Muppets, of course, but the idea is that you are along for this ride. Now, the ride car is followed by a camera car. Now, this camera car is made to look like Sweetums trying to just catch up. So throughout your ride, you'll get the slow parts and you'll see Sweetums behind you comment. He's like, wait up, you guys, hold on, I'll come back. But here's the fun part of this ride. As they continue bickering over whether it should be a fun musical ride or a historical accurate symposium by Sam the Eagle, the ride will go off the rails. The ride ends in a crash. The crash itself is a controlled stop. Hold on a minute.
Final Destination?
Yes. It's the
Muppet Edition.
See, here's the thing. Last season, I kept making
it ends the crash.
It's a very Muppet Final Destination.
Yes, yeah, so very much. We're trying to get as many properties in there as possible. But moreover, I was told I make too many death traps, so I'm leaning into the wind. But no, but the fake crash will be in the style of a Mr. Toad's Wild Ride or the way that Roger Rabbit has the explosions. It'll be that sort of thing where the two styles go back and forth, flipping between the two until it can't take it anymore. And you go through the final area, which will allow you to get off of the ride. This is my idea for the Dr. Teeth and the Electric Mayhem ride. All right. So this is a coaster. It's similar to Brad's, but my whole aspect is the idea that Sam the Eagle is fighting for control. So that is my first ride. Do you have any questions on that?
Would Sam the Eagle fight for control? Because my thing is, like, the attention getter is always Miss Piggy.
Right.
So I'm like, couldn't that be, like, the opportunity to, like, use Miss Piggy there?
Well, I'm so glad you brought her up, which brings me to my second pitch.
No, we're still on the first question. Answer the first question. You can't divert with another ride.
No, it's
She wants to know why you chose Sam the Eagle instead of Miss Piggy.
I chose Sam the Eagle because if you look at energy-wise, what is a direct contrast to what Dr. Teeth and the Electric Mayhem is. Whole thing is that absolutely positively, like, you could do whatever you want. We're going to just play the music, man. Sam the Eagle wants absolute control. Now, one could argue that Scooter is sitting there as the one who's trying to flip you between the two and just trying to regain control. But the fact of the matter is if you go off of the original Muppet Show canon, Sam the Eagle is just trying to teach a wholesome lesson.
Yeah.
That's
okay.
It.
That's fair.
So here's my question. Everybody's favorite part of roller coasters.
Yes.
Is those middle sections, the end sections, where the brakes are hit and you're suddenly going thrown forward into your seat.
Yes.
Everybody's favorite part. You're just going to have that multiple times throughout your ride.
That is correct. I'm going off of sort of what the Hagrid's ride is right now, where there are the multiple sections inside. It's not going to be the same area that you're going into. It'll be replicated, but it's going to be the idea that Sam's trying to get control and regain this ride. So I want that duality of multiple moments.
This isn't actually a very fast roller coaster.
It's honestly a standard speed, not super fast, but you can make up.
But, I mean, it's not Rip Ride Rocket Speed. It's not.
Mr. Toad's, like, it's like, so...
Like 25 miles an hour.
What is the track like? Like, so if it's, is it a true roller coaster then?
Think of it a little bit closer to like what the Cars ride is right now, where the Cars are in the track. They're actual built out vehicles. They go fast, but not
they only go fast at the very end, though.
When they're racing.
Because All Cars is just a redesign of Test Track.
Correct, which is basically what this ride is. It's them getting
of speed too. Like it's not really as fast as it feels.
You're messing with how quickly you're taking the turns, and because of that, that means that you don't need as much build up and stop it. Okay. It also brings down the volume of the ride, so we don't have to worry about.
It won't be as jarring of a stop every time.
Yeah, it's not a rip ride.
You're welcome for having us fix it.
Yeah, no, by all means. And that's not fixing. That's
because because you agreed at the beginning that it would be a lot of those stops. And now that we've done all this, you go, yeah, that's what I said. Rewind the tape.
Let's go to the tape.
It's interesting, Oliver, earlier in this, you were pointing out that it's the original idea that matters.
Yes, 100%. So that brings me to my next ride, the whatever. So Gonzo, as we all know, if you had to describe what he is, what species Gonzo is, he's a whatever. He's also a plumber. So the Gonzo Whatever ride is going to be a fun water-based ride where you are being put through a giant plumbing system. Gonzo is trying to sell this group of ride-goers on his new sort of Matterhorn-style or like a Splash Mountain-style ride. Not Matterhorn, Splash Mountain-style ride.
Oh, Matterhorn.
You are doing a log-style boat ride with some fun parts to it, sort of playing around with that idea. However, the whole idea is that Gonzo doesn't know what he's doing. He doesn't know how to build what he's trying to build. He's trying to get you to the end and just trying to show you how well it works. And every time it seems like it's about to do something right, more water is going to take you in a different direction. So what basically is going to happen is there'll be flooding moments in the ride that allow the ride car to go off of the supposed track. It's a controlled move that there's a way to maneuver the boat from underneath the track and create an actual track that's floating, but you're able to turn the car, make it go in different directions. So Gonzo's going to send you through his plumbing works on the whatever ride.
Okay, let's talk about this.
Yes, please.
Plumbing uses pipes, correct?
Yes, you're going to be in giant pipes.
Great.
Or logs.
So this is just a normal water slide?
No, it's a water river adventure.
You're in a pipe. You're in a pipe.
It's a plumbing water. System.
It's set design.
You're in a pipe. The pipes are not see-through. You're in a pipe.
No,
Have you either of you ever done any plumbing?
Nope.
You're in a pipe. Pipe.
It lets itself out. There are moments of it flooding. It doesn't go the way it's supposed to.
It floods into the ceiling? It's a pipe. They leak. They don't flood. Flooding is what it's supposed to do.
Do you remember what happened the last time in canon, Gonzo tried to do something simple with plumbing?
Outside of plumbing. He wasn't in the pipe.
I feel like we're splitting hairs here.
No. I feel this is an important thing to talk about.
I think we should
about.
Keep the hairs together. That's otherwise, never mind.
So in your mind, it's just a dark ride in a giant pipe. It's not.
In my mind, it's a like a raft ride that you ride at the water park.
No, it's a log ride.
It's the same concept. You're ride. In a tube on a little raft, a little boat.
No, you're not.
That goes
you're not.
Down this tube.
It's like if you went through Splash Mountain, but it was redesigned as Gonzo and plumbing.
It's him trying to prove that he's making the plumbing working.
So you're not in a pipe.
No.
There.
In a pipe. Yeah.
There are parts to it that are a pipe. What are you not getting about this?
I'm not getting how you think plumbing works.
I think that just finish the pitch.
No, that's it. So the thing is that you're going to have moments where you're hearing Camilla backing them up with the soundtrack, but that's about it. It's the idea that he's trying to show off that he can build a whatever.
He can build with pipes.
Yes.
And pipes that connect.
Most pipes connect.
Perhaps explaining what the actual car looks like. Explain that so that it's all clear.
Imagine a turd going through the pipe.
Yes, that's
you're
what I'm
on
playing.
The turd going through the pipe.
That's about right. So what,
what is it? What is
so? So the vehicle, the raft itself looks like a ramshackle put together boat. On the front of it, you'll have Gonzo the way that he looked in The Wizard of Oz when he was the Tin Man.
Did you say ramshackle?
Mm-hmm.
I've never heard that word like really? In a context.
Have you never discussed theoretical plumbing rides and never had to say the word ramshackle before?
I've like had it on a vocabulary test in like elementary school, but I've never heard anyone use it in context of anything at all.
Well, congratulations, bud. You heard it here first.
Right? I'm an adult now, officially.
Yep. You've mazel tov. You've made yourself into a man.
Thank you.
So it's going to be a ramshackle put together boat. Gonzo's not good at what he does. It usually goes awry, but it goes awry in the best ways. So that's my idea for the Gonzo ride.
So you're in a closed-off sort of pipe.
You can't get over the pipe thing, can you?
I'm just saying, you're in a pipe. It's all you've done is you've taken a water ride and just changed the boat a little bit.
Correct.
I will say this could work really well as a water ride. Like
It is a water ride. The problem is that there's no scenery.
Tube as in a actual like
in an actual tube.
I broke the show, ladies and gentlemen.
I just you
buddy, you pitched a show for Broadway Week last season.
No,
you
we're not
pitched
bringing
a ride where we stalk people.
And then kill them.
And then kill them on a ride. I get to say that there's a plumbing ride by a magical talking whatever.
No. That's not my problem about your plumbing ride. My problem is that the way you're describing your ride, and you keep calling it a plumbing ride in pipes, but you're not in pipes. If you're in pipes, then all you've done is taken a basic water ride that you can see at any water theme park. And you, like, that's it. You've just...
I guess you would say it's a very practical idea.
You don't even know what you're talking about, though.
Moving on to my third ride. My third ride
is... It's like if It's a Small World had pipes along the set design.
Yeah. You build it to be fun. It's a sewer system.
Pipes along, so now you're not in pipes anymore.
No, you're in a pipe, but it's like a big, big pipe. So there's like set design inside. It's like if Space Mountain was a pipe, you're inside Space Mountain. So you're in the Gonzo ride, but you're inside a big Gonzo pipe. Am I correct?
I hate that I'm having to let
your
him
pipes within me. Pipes.
Yeah, you know, okay, so you know how, like, if
so
you were to put...
It's more like a sewer system, it's
Spencer,
not a pipe.
No.
Spencer, don't okay. help me. Spencer,
you
don't help me.
It's more like
you
a sewer system.
Wait, hold on, I got it.
You are such a giver, you need to take this moment and hold back your defense of someone else's idea.
No, I was just going to say...
Tear
like,
into him.
If you were to put Splash Mountain into Space Mountain, that's kind of what you're getting. But
no,
Space Mountain is a pipe.
No!
Space Mountain is wide open.
Listen. I feel like I've heard enough. Have all right. we all heard enough?
I think we've heard enough.
I'm trying. I'm sorry. I'm trying to help.
No, you appreciate
it. You don't need to help. You don't need to, man.
I don't need it.
Let him drown. Let him drown his pipe ride.
We are competing against each other, bud.
Well, see, this is why. See, I can still lose and still help.
Spencer.
Let him drown in his pipe ride.
This is why I put you last, Spencer.
Let him flush this ride away.
I'm really trying to help you.
Let's talk about the Cabin Fever review.
Oh, good. You came up with that now?
No. So the Cabin Fever
this
review.
This is the Miss Piggy ride.
Yes. Well, no, it's not a ride. It's a review.
Well, the point is.
So, no, the point is that it's a So here's the thing.
You like going second?
The Cabin Fever. I hate this game. I hate
you
it.
Notice, you
I,
notice I, you, get, I, you get picked on a lot more when you go second, don't you?
Well, no, it's just the
just
idea
keep going.
Of trying to...
Stop talking.
So I last as well.
I need to keep talking.
Because you have to wait.
I want
wait.
Oliver break. I want to see him break this episode.
Oh, he's broken it several times already.
The Cabin Fever review. The Cabin Fever review. In the movie Muppet Treasure Island, there is a moment in it where all of the crew of the vessel go a little bit batty. And during this, they do a number called Cabin Fever. Now, I'm going to build this out and take that idea and slam it together with the pirate show that used to be out front of Treasure Island in Las Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
So in my idea...
He knows I'm from Las Vegas. Go ahead.
No,
sorry, go
this
ahead.
Is, this is,
he
I
does
happen
this.
To
he,
love
he,
that, right?
He
He doesn't tell information about guests that he knows this info and then uses it to pander.
I see through it. It's okay.
Thank you. I appreciate this.
I knew you're from Las Vegas, and I don't have anything about Las Vegas in my pitches.
Because you don't pander.
You're a giver, Spencer.
You're a person who plays fair, and that's why you went to Disneyland. So let's go ahead and continue. The Cabin Fever Review is going to be a styled show run and emceed by Pepe the Prawn, who's going to be doing different segments and numbers, allowing Miss Piggy to get her big, open a clamshell style big number that she gets a solo. The whole thing's going to take place on the deck of a pirate ship. As people come into the amphitheater and see the half of a pirate ship, there's going to be a twist to it. The bottom of the pirate ship will drop out at about halfway through, and you will see the Rats version of the review. So one of the biggest things from the Muppet Treasure Island universe is the idea that on the boat ride was another cruise line being run by these rats. So we're going to have numbers jumping back and forth between the full life-size humans slash regular Muppets, and it will shrink down with a close-up camera on Jumbotrons on the side to see these moments where you'll get to see the rats' numbers. So we'll do numbers about sailing. They'll do their version of I'm Sailing Away. Miss Piggy will get a big number in the style of a Hawaiian luau. We'll get to do all these different parts built into this thing that is specific to them. Now, at the end, Pepe the Prawn is going to get his moment in the sun. Pepe loves love. Pepe just loves love. And he loves allowing people to love each other. So he's going to try to find a romantic connection for a newlywed type game at the end of the show.
That's cute.
This will be a part where they bring up three couples, and Pepe is going to ask questions to them and have dialogue back and forth with these people to allow them to be part of the show. This review takes a bit of musical, takes a bit of fun, takes a bit of silliness, and takes a lot of Pepe, which is what I think is important, and puts it into this nice little bow. Yes, Spencer.
I was just going to ask if at the end he could be called Pepe Le Eubanks.
No.
You know, like the host of the newlywed game, Bob Eubanks?
No, I know what happened here, and I'm so upset I can't think of the words to describe it.
So here's my question. So this is Cabin Fever, but it takes place on a boat.
Cabin Fever Review
takes place on a boat. Takes place on a boat. It's a stage boat that you're watching.
Half boat, yeah.
Anything goes in this boat.
This is not the Broadway episode. Sorry, go ahead.
I love
that. In control.
Let's go back. First off, you were given a hard time earlier about Miss Piggy. Mm-hmm. And it sounded like you're going to prepare for her to have this really big part, but she's literally just has one solo song in this where she comes out of a clamshell.
A giant clamshell number, the showcase number of any review.
So that's it. So let's just be aware.
But that is Miss Piggy. Is her feeling the moment, and then she kind of gets lost in the shuffle again.
But more importantly, this is where I think you have the biggest problem. All right?
Do tell.
All right? You've called this Cabin Fever Review.
Yes.
Do you think that's appropriate in a post-COVID time?
Yes.
Cabin Fever Review? Yeah.
Uh-huh.
You are not sensitive at all to what's going on.
No, we've been doing this show for more than one season. When do you think I'm going to care about someone's sensitivity?
I'm disappointed.
I'm disappointed. Crossfire the rod.
The weight of Brad saying you are not sensitive at all.
Here's the thing. Later on, he's going to be like, and remember, you'll never be a father. What is that?
Here's my question. So, okay.
The plumbing?
I will have nightmares about the plumbing argument. The pipe argument, sorry. Okay, so we're seeing the rats only through a camera. Like, is there...
No, so the front of the ship will drop down.
Yeah.
You'll see the underneath of the, like, the in-between planks.
Right.
To make it easier for people to see them, because they are going to be to scale, there'll be cameras on them with zoomed in. So sort of think of it like going to a concert and seeing the zoomed in version.
You said this was like the Treasure Island version. So it's like, this is quite a distance away from people, like from anybody, right? Is there a way to do this like nearby without, you know what I mean? Like
think of it like a Shamu arena,
right?
Like at SeaWorld.
Yeah.
You got half the ship, the same way you would actually see it in Vegas. You're not that far away from them. You can see the details of the boat. It's the idea that you'll get to see the differential between the human-sized stuff with the ability to add the lips so the puppeteers can hide behind barrels and things like that.
Yeah. I just wanted to clarify too. Yeah.
And to make this really feel like the Shamu arena, those are going to be real rats that he's going to be keeping in small cages.
He took the plot rat to me.
Yeah, we had to get them out of the pipe ride. So we were just trying to make sure they have a place to go. But
it's make everything come full circle.
Yeah. It's to allow for a moment of like, and now another moment. And like, we'll be able to do those random spots that don't feel like it's one singular through line. It's the idea that they're little expositional moments.
Yeah.
All right.
I mean, if you want a different name, you can just call it the name of the movie.
No, because it's not an island.
I mean, you could put an island in the background.
I want no island in it.
Okay. That noted.
Write it down. Keep your points.
It's okay. Maybe I want an island in one of my pitches.
Spencer, if you have an island in one of your pitches, I'll give you whatever points I get today.
Wow.
Okay. Fair game.
I heard it.
Yeah, he can easily do that all the time.
That's very easily done.
No, I know.
Island to whatever pitch he has.
No, I realize the mistake I've made. I'm committing to it, though.
Did you see my face when I was like, okay, great.
Yeah.
Well, awesome. Those are my pitches. So, Serenity, do you have any other questions for me?
I think that's all I got. Great.
Spencer, uh-huh. We've now come time for you.
Great.
Are you ready, bud?
I think so, actually. I'm impressed that no one actually took these ideas overall in the grand scheme of things.
I feel like there were so many ideas that were obvious that haven't been brought up yet. So I know.
Interested.
Okay.
I was shocked. So I guess we'll start with my first pitch, which is...
The island ride.
A Muppet Treasure Island stunt adventure, which takes place on a tiny little island within the theme park. Similar to a dinner theater like Pirates Dinner Adventure or Medieval Nights, meets a smaller scale like Water World, so you know its own little island surrounded by water. A Muppet Treasure Island stunt adventure takes place right in the middle of the action of the story set over an ocean island, which I literally wrote in the pitch.
Yeah, Spencer, you really dug your hole with this one. He sent us his PowerPoint at the beginning of this episode, and it literally has it as his first option.
A la Fantasmic or Waterworld, that leads to a climax of a sword fight and swashbuckling adventures above the high seas. So it's, you know, a theme park show in the style of Waterworld, but set on an island to Muppet Treasure Island. That's the first pitch.
I don't think I have any questions. That makes a lot of sense to me.
I swear to God, if every single one of these ideas are island-based...
Oh, I only needed one island ride, though.
Yeah, I needed one island ride.
That's true.
Well, now we get to see if Oliver means what he actually says.
No. Do you not know me?
Well, it's on recording.
No, but it's recorded. I commit to it. So if I do win anything, Spencer, you may have my points. What's your next one, Spencer?
My next attraction is the Muppet Theater walking tour with Statler and Waldorf. So you're going to join a cast member tour guide as they take you through a replica of the old Muppet Theater with, of course, heckling Muppet, with, of course, heckling Statler... Muppets. With, of course, I'm going to start it again. Join a cast member tour guide as they take you through a replica of the old Muppet Theater.
No, are you going to start it again?
Can you include the part where he does it and inserts it again?
That's why I just said I start it again.
I'm editing it, so, you know, it's up to me.
Spencer, can you please have a Muppet moment?
It'll take him a Muppet of minutes.
Well, I can do it in a Muppet second. Muppet second.
There you go.
All right. Whatever. Okay, so... the Muppet Theater walking tour with Statler and Waldorf. Join a cast member tour guide as they take you through a replica of the old Muppet Theater with, of course, heckling from Statler and Waldorf from their grand old stage left balcony box. As the tour continues, Statler and Waldorf disappear from their balcony box and end up in the crowd because they're roaming puppeteers to heckle the guests and have a little one-up showdown with the tour guide who is trying to conduct the tour. Now, at this point, Statler and Waldorf take over, so the tour guide quits and, like, literally leaves in a dramatic exit. And eventually, Statler and Waldorf disappear as all the guests are like, what's going on? And a stage manager, known as Scooter, comes in, apologizes for the inconvenience of everything, and sends the guests to the VIP backstage-only area, which is, of course, a small museum and gift shop with items and memorabilia related to all forms of Muppet theater in general. That's the second pitch. Yes.
I have a question.
Uh-huh, go ahead, Oliver.
So would you say that they leave the stage left box and come down and they're amongst the people?
Mm-hmm.
You're giving them a torso and feet to inherently...
Nope. I said no, they're Roman puppeteers.
It's puppeteers carrying half their body.
Right. And also breaking the fundamental rule of the Muppets, which is you never see the puppeteer.
You know what? I'm taking your points, Oliver, so I'm not super worried about this pitch anymore.
I have questions.
Yeah, go for it.
So that was a concern I had. Mm-hmm. Is like,
looking back on it, it's a concern I have as well now.
A justified one. It's the core mechanic of a Muppet. It's the entire
half body.
Don't travel either. Like their whole bit is that they're kind of like commenting on the on what's going on.
I thought it was
they're outside in the fourth wall there.
I feel like there's better characters to travel if you were to try to do that too.
Like characters that have full developed bodies.
Is it a tour of the Muppet Theater?
Yes, it's a Muppet Theater walking tour.
No, it's the Muppet Theater.
The Muppet.
Yeah.
Well, at the time, I love Statler and Waldorf, so I was like, this will be cool to interact with Statler and Waldorf.
Butchered the concept of them.
Interacting with them where they're supposed to be, you decided to take their half disembodied bodies. And
also, at first, was like, this is Muppet Vision. I was like, this is Muppet Vision, so let me change it.
That was my second thing, is that the theater concept is like, has been done. Like,
yeah.
I feel like it works really well, but it has been done.
It's an immersive experience.
Spencer, your Muppet Treasure Island, the other one was good.
This is why I changed the order around, because I was like, you know what? We're going to start strong, we're going to end strong, and we won't worry about the part in the middle.
Okay. So, and just go out with a fizzle.
It's the throwaway, understood, received. Yeah.
It's the also... It's funny that you say fizzle, because that leads me into my third attraction, is Gonzo the Great's gargantuan, grandiose gadget go coaster, because I couldn't think of a synonym for coaster that started with the letter G. So I'm going to read my description so I don't mess it up. Gonzo the Great is at it again. Climb aboard your very own coaster following Gonzo on his journey to becoming the next great stunt star. A little rock and roller coaster meets Space Mountain meets Mr. Toad's Wild Ride. Travel on a radical roller coaster as Gonzo eats a tire to fly to the Bumblebee, balances a piano while reciting the 7 times tables, and more as you get an up-close look through animatronic scenes at Gonzo as he prepares for his biggest stunt, to be shot out of a cannon. And that involves you. At the height of the ride, guests will come face-to-face with a cannon as a barrel of love / revolving cylinder, you know, those weird funhouse contraptions as you're going through, disorienting guests just slightly before we hear the cannon being lit. Gonzo counting down and then being shot out of the cannon during the launch of the final portion of the ride, which takes you launching out of the cannon on a journey high above the clouds as you hear the Rainbow Connection. Literally, you are in the clouds. Smoke and fog covers the ground so you can't see below you as you go on a rip-roaring ride in the air before coming back down to Earth. And that's my third pitch.
I'm so glad you're getting my point. So, question. Are you shooting an audience out of a cannon, Spencer?
Okay, so this is what the revolving cylinder part is. Your revolving cylinder, it's like, you know, like, in, I don't know what the inside of a cannon looks like, cannon. But I'm assuming, yeah, it's a fake cannon. They're not actually coming.
Right.
I'm not doing a death trap ride.
What's the ride?
It's a roller coaster.
Rock and roller coaster animatronic scenes.
Yeah, so it's Rock and Roller Coaster meets Space Mountain meets Mr. Toad's Wild Ride. So there's scenes where you go through. You know, okay. It starts out like what's the ride where you go through like all the animatronic scenes, and at the very end you launch through on a ride.
Cars. You're describing the Cars ride again.
We've already had bags.
But it's like if you take Mr. Toad's Wild Ride at the start. And then you get to the, oh, it's like Revenge of the Mummy. So you have like all the dark ride stuff at the beginning, and then he comes, your souls belong to me. And then that's the canon part where we start loading up into the revolving cylinder.
I'm sorry, just real quick.
And then
the audio cut out. Could you just give me that one more time as to what?
What the guy in the mummy says?
Yeah.
He goes, your souls belong to me. And then cool. You shoot out.
Great.
And the,
just want to make sure we had it.
Because I always think he says, your souls are mine, and I say it on the ride, and then I'm wrong, and then I feel embarrassed.
That's Mortal Kombat.
Everyone looks at you while you're on that ride. When
correct.
You say it.
Yes, correct. It's true.
Okay. Because he's shouting it. He's not even waiting for the sound. It's him saying it.
Let me get this clear. Hold on. You're describing your roller coaster.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right. Now, you pitched your roller coaster as Rock and Roller Coaster meets Mr. Toad meets Space Mountain.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Because I couldn't think of Revenge of the Mummy.
You created a PowerPoint and everything, and you couldn't think of Revenge of the Mummy. You instead chose three rides that are not like Revenge of the Mummy.
Your Honor, we rest our case.
Well, let me explain why I chose those three rides to give you an idea of what I was going for. I chose Mr. Toad's Wild Ride. It's a dark ride that's
down
not
in
like
the South, Mr. Wild.
It's not a kiddie dark ride in the sense of like you're just seeing animatronic scenes, but it's like a more wild, you know, endeavor, like Gonzo trying to do all these stunts. It's more stunt friendly. It's more like Mr. Toad or Roger Rabbit or whatever. The Rock and Roller Coaster because of the launch mechanism with the roller coaster, and then Space Mountain because when you get into the clouds, it's like you can't see where you're going, kind of like in Space Mountain, you're high into the sky in space, so you can't see where you're going. So I combined them all instead of thinking, oh, Revenge of the Mummy has a dark ride with the darkness after that.
Speaking of which, this is my one of my other things that I want to talk about. You know what goes great with a fog-like effect to really make it feel like you're above the clouds? Is a speeding roller coaster over it, pushing all of that fog away.
I can't wait for you to be going on this roller coaster and just getting hit in the head with like cotton balls, because that's the only way they're going to be able to get that smoke to sit.
I want
to
hear Spencer's defense.
I think in my PowerPoint, I actually put a picture of the Incredicoaster, and that's what the launch is. Is when you go on Incredicoaster, you see like the Incredibles family, and they're like, oh, don't get that cookie, Jack Jack, or whatever. And so this is like where Gonzo's like, all right, here
I'm
we
not
go.
Talking about the going- canon.
Yeah, you're going into the canon.
Your canon makes cylinder. Sense. I understand your canon.
Buddy, oh, okay. The canon's the part we like.
The clouds.
The cloud part.
Oh, the clouds. Yeah, okay, so the clouds.
That you just described saying you're going to use smoke and fog to create clouds.
Sure.
You're literally soaring above the clouds.
But that's not going to work. No. What I mean by this is like, you know when it's dark and you can't see below you because there's like fog effects and stuff. So you can't like see like the distance around you. That's like what's happening. It's like in Revenge of the Mummy.
No. Explain that better as what you're just throwing a bunch of random words to try and explain away this cloud effect.
The smoke is not clouds. The smoke is like you're literally, I guess it is, so you're in the clouds, so you can't see below you is the point. So when you drop into like the darkness, so it looks like you're in the sky because you got shot out of the cannon, you get shot straight to the sky. Thematically it works, I just couldn't figure out technically, but you get shot out of the cannon through the revolving cylinder launch and you get launched into the sky, the clouds, so there's like smoke and fog and then you drop down. You're not like hanging out in the clouds for a day.
What?
So you said you're
shot up into the sky above the clouds,
uh-huh.
which are smoke and fog.
Right, and then you drop down.
Which wouldn't be there, because
you
destroyed that with
speed.
But it's the smoke and the fog and like the fact that it looks like a sky. It's all painted like a sky. It's not that just the clouds
painted
are the
blue.
It's like a nighttime sky. It can be a daytime sky. The point is.
No. Is it painted black or is it painted blue?
It's like a navy, like a dark navy.
You just shot up into to look at the roof.
Oh, look, mauve.
But I guess it makes a lot of sense in my brain pictures, but in my word vowels, it can't come out. So, that's my third pitch. It's a Gonzo the Great's cannon coaster. Basically, you're just getting shot out of Gonzo the Great's cannon in his attempt to become Gonzo the Great.
Okay. Very creative. Is it? I see where you ran into trouble. Uh-huh. I like the theme a lot, actually. Like, I could see that being a ride. I feel like the little technical parts of it.
Yeah, we could fix those.
Were worked out.
The entire ride?
No, you can't.
We keep the theme and just rebuild an entirely different ride.
And also, it's called a theme park. I'm glad you like the theme. Okay. The thing you're judging is the ride. Okay, we've come to the point where you have to award points. So, Spencer, what are the categories one more time?
Oh, the categories are practicality, creativity, and guest favorite.
We're going to go bronze, silver, and gold. And you are going to tell us what they're going to be. So let's go ahead and start off with creativity. Serenity, for bronze, for creativity, who are you giving it to?
Okay, for bronze, for creativity, I'm going to give it to the Cabin Fever ride.
I'll take it and give it to Spencer.
Fantastic. I will take it.
Are we actually doing this? That would make me.
It's on the record.
It's on the record, and I commit to the bit.
It's on the record, and it's really going against me here because now it's 2v1. Look, I mean, it hurts you. It hurts you. I will be better than you no matter what. You're right.
Schmuck, you're the one who said that I should commit to it. If you hadn't argued it, then you would have just lost to me.
Well, let's see what happens. Because maybe that's the only point between me and Oliver for the rest of the show.
Sure. Let's move on to silver for creativity. What do you got, Serenity?
Silver for creativity, I'm going to give it to the Rainbow Connection, the coaster.
Rip Ride Rainbow Connection?
Yeah.
Rip Ride Rainbow Connection, Brad's on the board. The gold for creativity, Serenity, what do you got?
Gold for creativity, I think I'm going to give it to the Dr. Teeth, an Electric Mayhem coaster.
Coaster?
Yeah.
It makes sense.
Yeah. Like I could see that and actually wanting to go ride it. It felt creative to me. So creativity is tied to like what makes sense, you know?
Take it. Speaking of what makes sense, let's move on to practicality.
Yeah.
Serenity, for practicality for bronze, what do you got?
Okay. Practicality for bronze. I'm going to give it to the Bunsen and Beaker eatery. I like the fact that an eatery was included. I think I could see that being a necessary element. Like that's constantly something that's needed in a theme park. And I like the entertainment with the food. Love it.
I wish it had been molecular gastronomy, by the way. Out of all the ideas that you could have gone with it, if there's going to be characters that have science, it'd be them.
Yeah, but when I think of, like, I didn't want to get into
alcohol. Moving on, we're going to move on to silver. Silver for practicality, what do you got, Serenity?
I'm going to go with the Muppet Treasure Island stunt show. I think that, like, that water world thing really works. I like that people get a break. They, you know, there's people who can watch it. Like, to me, I'm like, that's very family oriented. I see it being a real thing.
All right. Now we're moving on to the gold. This is the gold for practicality. Serenity, what do you got?
Gold for practicality. I'm gonna give it to the Rainbow Connection. I think that the song thing is something to work through, but I think it's possible. I don't think it's impossible. I like the repurposing of a ride. He was very intentional about it. He wanted that one, and I gave it to him.
You know what's quite wild is I think as of right now, I think Brad has more points than me getting Oliver's points. Also,
that is correct. That is 100% correct.
How wild.
So let's move on to fan favorite. For fan favorite, Serenity, for bronze, what do you got?
Okay. For bronze, I'm going to give bronze to, I'm going to give it to the Dr. Teeth show, the live show. Just because it, I feel like working with that concept, there's so much there that you could do. And I feel like it's very much the essence of what the Muppets are, is like, there's a bunch of stuff going on. I like that. So there's bronze.
That's bronze. We're going to move on to silver. Silver for fan favorite Serenity. What do you got?
Okay. Silver. Oh, I'm going to give it to Cabin Fever. I don't like the title either.
Too bad you gave it points.
I think the creativity of it mattered to me a lot. I think that there's a lot of like moving parts to it. I really like it. Good job.
Spencer, enjoy those sweet, sweet points.
I will, because I'm looking at the order and I actually have not been on the board much. So I will take your points and save them for when I'm behind every other week.
Spencer, I really liked your ideas. I like you as a person.
It's okay.
We get like an honorable mention of personality?
No, you can't.
I would sweep that every week.
He would sweep every week. That's why there's no category for being endearing. Serenity, we have come to the gold for fan favorite. What is your pick?
And keep in mind, if you give it to Oliver, I still get those points. So just keep that in mind as well.
Yeah. Okay. All right. You know what? I'm going to say it. I didn't come in wanting to give Oliver all these points, but I really like the Dr.
No one ever does.
I like the Dr. Teeth coaster. You talked over me giving you a good thing.
Sorry.
Take it away.
I'm not used to the compliments, but there you have it. The Dr. Teeth coaster, right?
Yep. That's it.
Great. Well, there you have it.
I could see it. I could see it being a thing. I would want to go on it. Young kids would want to go on it.
Well, there we go. That's the first episode of season 2 of Theoretical Thrill Serenity. Is there anything you want to plug for the rest of the show?
Follow me on all of my social media handles.
There you go. Ladies and gentlemen, that brings our episode to a close. Thank you so much, Serenity, for being here.
Yeah, thanks, guys.
Thank you.
On behalf of Theoretical Thrills, I'm Oliver.
I'm Brad.
And I'm Spencer.
Have a great night.
Did you enjoy the episode you just watched? Feel free to like, subscribe, and share. And if you have an interpretation of an idea based on the theme of the week, feel free to tag us on social media with hashtag Theoretical Thrills, and we may feature your ride and attraction on the show.
Theoretical Thrills, the theory of the thrill.